Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. Over on Patreon, we are holding weekly interviews with patrons. We're talking to them about their lives, about how they got interested in or knowledgeable about Collapse. What does that mean for them? What actions have they taken or do they plan to take in response? The very first of these episodes I did was someone named Kelly. And in this interview, Kelly explained to me her path to Collapse awareness and some pretty dramatic changes that she made in her life and to her career. So here today, I am sharing the first 18 minutes or so of that interview. Enjoy it. Kelly, thanks for being here. It's so exciting to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me.
Okay, well, you and I, before we started recording, we've kind of walked through what we were going to talk about during this, but I want to make a point to everyone listening that the purpose of these interviews that we're going to start doing, these conversations, are meant to be sort of an informal conversational approach to, between myself and patrons. I don't want to talk to people, I don't need to talk to people who have like expertise in anything. I just want to chat with normal people who are experiencing collapse and want to know what that looks like for them. Yeah, that's you, Kelly. You had just told me, you had basically said, you know what? Like, I want to know what other people's stories are. I want to know how they discovered collapse. I want to know how they're dealing with it. And so at least for a little while in the next several bonus episodes, this is the direction we're going to take it. So thanks for being the guinea pig and the first one to try it out.
Always happy to help.
All right. Well, let's just jump in. Let's start with you telling us what you want to tell us about yourself on a personal level. Where are you? Who are you? Those types of things.
Sure. I am Kelly, and I'm currently sitting in sunny, I know it really is, sunny London.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I know.
And funny enough, I'm in the rainy desert right now in the western U.S., so.
Well, there you go, trading places.
There you go.
We've been in a drought, actually, pretty much all year, which I know you've covered, and we can talk more about. But anyway, sunny London on a lovely autumn day, and as you can hear from my accent, I'm not originally from these parts. I hail from the great state of Texas originally, but I kind of never quite, it was never my place. And so as soon as I graduated high school, I headed west to California for college, or uni, as they call it here. And then when I graduated, I kept heading west, which ended up being Japan.
Oh, wow.
And then China. And that was my first career in pharmaceutical market research.
Interesting.
And then I came to the UK and started what I call my second career, which was in actually climate entrepreneurship.
Wow.
And then now I am where I am today, which is still here in the UK, but not doing climate anymore, which we can talk about the whys. And actually, you're a part of that.
Oh, interesting. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, what's climate entrepreneurship?
So climate tech is basically how I would define it.
Okay.
So taking a step back, my first career in pharmaceuticals was really business development. So I kind of set up and ran business units within consulting companies for that industry. And
okay.
So it was intrapreneurial. You know, I was setting up businesses for a business. And so I kind of had that entrepreneurial bug, but it was always, you know, with the safety and support of a large corporation, which is very, you know, cozy place to do that, but
right.
Kind of cut my teeth doing that. But and this is starting to get in a little bit to the collapse awareness. When I lived in Japan, I noticed that the skies were quite gray. And when I got transferred over to China, I kind of realized why. It was because all the pollution coming over from China.
Yeah.
And I was there in the early 2000s, the early aughties, and it was pretty dire. Like, the air was so bad that you could count the number of blue sky days on it, if you're lucky, two hands in a year.
Yeah,
it was so bad. I would open my curtains in the morning on my little high-rise apartment and wonder how far down the street I'd be able to see that day.
Wow.
It was genuinely pea soup, like, was de rigueur. And at that time, I just remember thinking, this is the world's factory now. This is what making stuff does to the air. This isn't good, you know, like, but I'm sure the adults are in charge. You know, I'm still kind of like a freshly minted new grad.
Somebody's got this figured out. Yeah, totally.
I don't really need to worry, do I? but this isn't good. This isn't good. And I want to do something about it. And electric cars were just kind of being talked about at that point. And I was like, oh, rather than helping to sell overpriced cancer drugs, wouldn't it be nice if I were using my skills to, you know, help solve these problems that I see, you know,
yeah,
that are literally in my face every day. And so I wanted to do that, but I was on that corporate treadmill,
yeah,
you know?
How old were you at the time?
So I was in my 20s during this time.
Okay.
To mid-30s is when I, well, finally switched over, but came to the UK in my early 30s and didn't immediately switch over, much to my chagrin and regret. I stayed on that treadmill for quite a while longer because I was afraid to get off.
Yeah.
I mean, our system, you know, it's like if you don't work, you don't eat, right?
Totally. I'm in the middle of that right now. Yeah, I'm in the treadmill trying to get off, trying to figure out how to do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would say having sort of done it, but we can talk about that. It can be messy and it can be slow and kind of back and forth. So when I got to the UK, I knew I wanted to do something that I found personally meaningful. And that, to my mind, was the environment, which then became climate.
Yeah.
But I was afraid and I thought, oh, I needed a degree, you know. I just need another degree. I've got a bachelor's and a master's, but one more. I mean, think I can do it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I found, you know, London Business School was in my backyard. And I was like, an MBA, that'll do it. Then I'll be qualified to be an entrepreneur, which I kind of already am. Anyway, you know, connections. Right. I need more connections.
Right. Yep.
You know, you tell yourself these things. And so I did the MBA executive while still working and hoping that I would find a co-founder or find my path. But you know, what I've really found was London Business School was teaching business as usual. They talked about the future, but they saw the future as a wonderful continuation of today. And I was like, you guys don't get it. Like, yeah, we can't keep doing this. Like, the world had got to change or will change. And that is just so not on these business schools' radar. I think Nate Higgins has some good takes on this recently, debunking a lot of business school myths. But anyway, yeah, they were teaching business as usual. So even though I tried to do entrepreneurial and they had some climate-focused things, it didn't get me where I wanted to get. So I finally kind of, you know, ended up booted off the treadmill practically because I just, my heart wasn't in it anymore. And I'm not the kind of person who can fake it.
Yeah.
So I just could not do that corporate job anymore and pretend like I cared.
So up to that point, how were you getting your education around climate change and sustainability? Mm-hmm. Like, what had you done up to that point to kind of learn that it wasn't sustainable?
I think if you're, I mean, just apply logic was the first thing. You know, even before I knew all the science, you know, like I said, just looking out the window in China told you this is not good.
Yeah.
And, you know, Al Gore, An Inconvenient Truth, that was a big wake up for me.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I read a lot. I have a degree in biology and just, you know, I was just listening to your one about, you know, kind of news consumption and it's my hobby. I really would love to give it up, but I.
Oh, yeah. I'm right there with you.
I love information, you know.
Right.
And I want to be informed even when it hurts.
Totally.
So,
yep.
Yeah. So okay. Anyway, yeah. I still believed that this was solvable. I didn't understand climate science at the time, and I didn't understand the real pyramid scheme nature of capitalism.
Mm.
At that time either. Yeah. I had hunches because I remember being in China and it was a book talk and I remember there was something about, you know, infinite growth and I was like, but how can we keep growing infinitely?
Yeah.
And I don't even remember the answer that they gave, but it was just some nonsensical, you know, and I was just like, it's not satisfying. So yeah,
okay.
Logic. But then I still believed. And so after getting off the treadmill, I started working for a climate tech startup. And this one was using AI to reduce food waste. And that was using AI before AI had even like taken off like it has now with the LLMs and chatbots and things like that. It was computer vision, and they identified food waste using photo, and it would say how much it was of what, and therefore how much it cost the company to waste. And then that was to help the companies not waste that kind of food, not make so much so that they wasted it. And anyway, it was kind of in the heyday of climate techs being funded and net zero pledges and all of that. And so I was so excited to be working in this space. And then after that, I consulted for a few climate tech startups. And then I found a program to found my own. And it's called Carbon 13. It's a venture builder. So what they do is they take individuals who want to work on this from various backgrounds, various expertises, mix them all together, and then have them form teams and come up with business ideas. But the business needs to draw down carbon with its activities. And then they pitch to the investors. So it's kind of like, to use the UK terms, Love Island meets Dragon's Den, because you have to form teams, and you can't, if you get booted off the island, you're out. But then once you're in your teams, you have to come up with the idea to pitch to the dragons and get the money. So I did that, and I was in the first cohort, and my team got investment. So all of a sudden I had my own climate startup, which is really cool
Really neat,
for, yeah, really, really cool for about a year. And two reasons for that. The first is because right after we got that investment, the market tanked.
Oh no.
And all one thing you may know about startups is you're always fundraising.
Always.
Always. And so just because we got money didn't mean we were sorted. It meant we have to go get more money. And the environment just became not conducive to that. The gold rush for climate tech was kind of over at that point. And the other reason is because after year one, I became collapse aware. And all of a sudden, I thought, I'm finally living my values. I'm finally working on something that really matters and that I really care about. And I have my own startup even, I've arrived kind of, after all those years in the wilderness, of pharmaceutical market research.
I found my
And
way.
yeah, exactly. I'm on my way. And then all of a sudden, I read Jim Bindle's Deep Adaptation. And the penny kind of dropped with that. And I don't know why it took to get to that point, but that's what it took for me. And all of a sudden, I was like, that hunch, that niggling thought in the back of my mind that it's already too late, this isn't going to work, really hit home. And I'd always been queasy, I won't lie, about the idea of using entrepreneurship to remedy the climate crisis, because I feel like using capitalism to fight the climate crisis is like using a blowtorch to fight a forest fire.
Yeah, valid.
Yeah, I was always like, it doesn't make sense, but these are the tools I got, so I'll
It's what we have to
try to
work
use
with.
them. And like, this is my experience. My background is business building. But reading that, and I tried to come up with the sequence of events, but it was like, I think Deep Adaptation led to me finding Nate Higgins and his talk. And then I think from there, I found your podcast. And this is the summer of 22 here in the UK, which you'll probably remember was now apparently the second hottest on record. But it was the year we broke 40 degrees. And I was here in London when that happened. And oh my God, it was honestly apocalyptic. I get goosebumps still thinking about how scary it was. London nearly ran out of water. There were parts of the UK that did run out of water. And, this would be a whole other podcast, but people think, but it rained in the UK all the time. Well, we don't manage that water very well. And the UK kind of requires constant rain to stay nice and green. And so the trees in Hyde Park, this massive park with these ancient trees all dropped their leaves. It looked like autumn. It was genuinely scary. And I'll tell you, 104 degrees Fahrenheit in the UK without air conditioning
Torture.
is it changed my thinking. It made me go, oh my God, this is now, you know?
Right, it's here.
And yeah, it's here. It's here. And yes, this is only a few days this summer, but it'll be back, you know?
Yeah, this isn't the last time, and this isn't the worst it's going to get.
No, this is a taster
Yeah.
preview. Yeah, exactly. And so, and it was during that summer that I discovered your podcast, and I was just binging it every day, probably about three episodes, going through all your seasons, just doom, doom, you know, doom,
Right.
doom, boom, 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 but doom,
Yeah,
doom, doom.
doom, doom,
Yeah. Freudian slip. And yeah, it was such a good education and welcome information and knowledge, because it gave me all the pieces of the puzzle to be able to say, logically argue what my intuition had probably told me for a long time. And I think, you know, like with Nate, I really understood. So deep adaptation was like, oh shit. Nate was like, everything is energy. Well, then you can see the trajectory. And
Right.
then your podcast was like really catabolic collapse,
Okay.
understanding that concept and understanding the way debt fuels that need for growth. 'Cause I've always thought, like, why is everybody like growth, growth, growth? But nobody ever says why?
Can't we just
Why?
stop? Why can't we just turn it off? Yeah.
Exactly. We're good. We don't need to grow. You
Yeah.
know,
Right.
chill, people, you know. And so understanding that role of debt, I mean, it makes perfect sense. And so that really brought me to an existential crisis, because then I was just like, well, doing this climate startup where I'm spending all my time trying to prove that I have this business model that's going to make, you know, 10 to 100x in revenue and money for the investors, so that I'll get more money from more investors, you know, when really I need to be figuring out how I'm going to have water
Right.
and stay cool when these days come again. And, you know, how are we going to grow food when, like, you know, like it happened again this summer, but all the blackberries died on the vine that summer. They were just these burnt crisps. And blackberries are usually like the food you can find everywhere in London, you know?
Super resilient, yeah.
Yeah. And free and everywhere, you know? It's like
Yeah.
when you see that, you're just like, oh shit. So yeah, this time last year, I just decided I didn't want to do the startup anymore. We still had money. We'd just gotten a grant from Innovate UK, our second one,
Oh,
which
wow.
these are hard to get.
Yeah.
And I realized I couldn't do it anymore. So inform the investors and, you know, let the team go, and started the slow process of winding it down. But with, yeah, this part's a little hard to talk about, but with no, not just no plan for what I was going to do next, but also not any kind of clear direction or motivation to do anything. I think I kind of slipped into a depression. This is not blaming anybody.
Sure.
I blame the planet and capitalism, but you
Sure.
know, I'm blaming the knowledge. But it was like, you know, I thought I had this thing that I was really living for. It was really make a difference. And I didn't know what to do with myself after that. So I took a year's sabbatical and took a lot of singing lessons.
Nice.
It was great. I'm
Yeah.
still not a good singer, but it was fun.
Well, I know how that is. You don't want to hear me. You don't want to hear me sing. But the last year then was the year, I guess. What's changed over that year? How are you now? What's the plan now?
Okay, I'm going to push pause there on the interview for now. This is about half of it. There's another 15 minutes or so. If you would like to finish this interview, please join us on Patreon. There's a link in the description to this episode. We've got many other interviews, plus about 100 and what, 90, approaching 200 back catalog episodes to listen to there as well. All right, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: Startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.